Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Let's all do an experiment together. We're going to see how far we can push the human voice. Okay, so say the letter I out loud.
I.
This is Darren Foreman. He's going to help us out. So again, I, long, like I.
I.
Okay, now the letter E. E. Yeah, just like that. So here's the question.
How do you get from R to E? I, R, you know what I mean?
You heard what Darren just did?
R, E.
Five sounds from I to E. And then...
You know what I mean?
I actually don't, because I've never given it that much thought. Just your description of getting from one sound to another, I don't think my ears have ever even thought to listen so carefully.
Has it blown your mind?
Totally.
Yeah.
Well, it does. Because, I mean, really, how many people can actually do that with their voices?
You know, so you've got like SH, like shh, but shh. You know, they're called formants that you give, and you use them every day to go, like, to say vowels. Mm-hmm. That's a kind of specific formant.
All right, so not many people walk around thinking about how many formants they can manipulate with their mouths. But Darren obviously does, partly because he's a globally recognized two-time UK beatboxing champion, and partly because he just likes listening to the world.
Some things are easier to do than others. So a crying baby you can do, because you used to be a baby, so all you have to do is kind of construct your throat and go... like that, and that, or trumpets. But anyone can do that.
Not anyone.
Or you can listen to something like, I don't know. So like that sounds like maybe like a biplane or like a tractor. It's like a sort of like a diesel engine. But that I figured out by going and then putting them together, and then you realize that they both together make a weird thing.
Weird, cool, and wonderful. And as we mentioned, Darren Foreman is a renowned beatboxer now. But he says this obsession with making sounds goes back to when he was kind of a strange kid.
I was quite strange. So, yeah, I was learning... Well, I was learning to talk and got kind of bored with, like, learning words because they seem quite limiting.
So when Darren was 3 years old, he discovered a truly joyful noise.
I just, like, blew a lot of raspberries. Or. That's what we say blowing raspberries in England to mean going. I don't know. What do you call that in America?
The same, I think.
So you can go or. There's so many different raspberries. So I was really obsessed with with raspberries.
Okay, so by now, beatbox fans are thinking, this is so cool. Everyone else, I imagine, is wondering, what's the point? Well, the point is, with practice, just listen to what you can do with your own voice.
What you can do with your own voice.
That's it. That's all I can do.
That's all.
That's it.
Well, obviously, that's not it. And it's at this point I should probably tell you that Darren Foreman is better known by his stage name, Beardy Man, for no other reason than he has a beard, as far as I can tell. And you can see him tonight at Brighton Music Hall. Now, his beatboxing skill landed him on the TED Ideas stage in 2013. And it was there he put on display just how he's pushing forward beatboxing, electronica, live performances, and real-time improv and music composition with a machine specially built for him called the Beardytron.
The Beardytron. It's kind of my life's work. It's basically two laptops and... some iPads, and it kind of sits around me as this kind of crazy spaceship cockpit kind of thing. And basically, it allows me to kind of rock up onto a stage with no really preconceived ideas of what I'm going to do and just kind of improvise my way through an hour of electronic music.
So that is one use of the Beardytron where you're actually just, you're using your voice and inputting samples and then
yeah.
making a composition just sort of as you go.
Yeah, it's fun.
But you're not actually manipulating your voice. But the Beardytron can do that for you as well.
Indeed it can.
Okay, well, we have an example of that. The opening track from your new album, Distractions, and this is called A Cheerful and Sunny Disposition.
Won't you tell me that you love me?
So that organ you can hear there, that's not my voice, but I believe everything else is.
Realize that my life beside a machine.
Describe to me a little bit in more detail, like from a production standpoint, what are we hearing? What exactly are you doing to make a track like this?
So that track, I did it live. It's nice to be able to produce that fast. That's kind of why I've made this thing, is so that I can just get ideas out really quickly before I get bored of them. I like giving myself the restriction of having to do things in real time because I think you get things happening then that you wouldn't otherwise get.
So at a show, when you're in front of an audience and people are watching you do this in real time, I mean, there's also a risk to it, right? Because what if you're sort of you go down a path that after a while you feel like it's not really working.
Well, yeah, okay, so if I'm doing something where I suddenly get bored of it or I feel like there's something else I should be doing, or then I can just stop the music and start making something different, or I can kind of, you know, mangle the output of what I'm doing and turn it into something else. There's so many different ways of doing it.
Well, I'm asking about this because it just occurred to me that this is a... I mean, every time a musician performs, even if it's a song that, you know, they may have written 10 years ago. I understand that every performance is slightly different, but that seems to be like the definition of what you do.
Yeah, that's always what I've wanted to do, is to be able to have the live show itself be a process of discovery for me.
You know, you can do so much with your own voice. You can make your voice sound like so many instruments. The Beardytron can manipulate those sounds themselves, create even new sounds. But I guess I'm curious, at what point in time is it not worth it anymore? Why not just use like the original instruments that you're recreating?
Yeah. But so basically what you're asking is, am I insane? Yes. No, so I've got options. So it's obviously much quicker for me to just, you know, beatbox something or sing a bass line, you know, and it's depending on how whimsical I want it to be or how good I want it to sound, and the trade-off between how quickly I can get the sound in my head out and the kind of level of detail that I want it to have. Anyway, these are the kind of decisions that are going on in my head all the time when I'm doing a show.
Well, I want to play another track from your new album, Distractions, because this track sort of epitomizes yet another layer of stuff that you're adding onto your music. So this is the song, You Only Like What You Know. So the point of bringing this song in is because there's lyric, there's songwriting in here. Tell us what the song's about.
The song is about stuff and things and places.
And other stuff.
And other stuff. But I think if I was to overly explain what it's about, it would take away from the individual listener's experience of the song. So I just want to leave it enigmatic. I'm so deep. Oh my god. I've got so many layers. I'm like an onion. I make myself cry. I'm so pungent with thought and depth. I'm a wellspring of emotion and profundity. I'm so awesome.
I'm so public radio. Okay, well, let's listen to actually some more music. This is you behind the Beardytron in a live performance of a piece called Ones and Zeros.
Thank you.
Is it true that only one other person in the world has used the Beardytron?
Yeah, most people are afraid to use it because all that power in the wrong hands.
Yeah. And that person is?
Herbie Hancock.
That is so cool.
It's really cool. He is really cool. Do you know what's great about that? Is that, like, everyone, like, my grandma included, was like, really, Herbie Hancock? Like, everyone I know.
How
cool Herbie Hancock
is. How did that happen?
Well, at TED, he was there, and he saw my talk, and there's this kind of, like, TED app where when you've been at TED, you can communicate with anyone else at TED. And I was, like, messaging all these people, being like, hey, love the work you're doing at Google. Can I come? And, yeah, I didn't hear anything back. But, like, Herbie was like, yeah, let's link up. So we just hung out. And then I went to his studio and we hung out there. And we like, jammed for 4 hours. And I've got all these, like, 4 hours of recording from when we jammed with him. I should really do something with that recording.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, he loved it. I don't think he's going to be using it as part of his live rig anytime soon.
Well, do you want other people in the long run to be able to use the Beardytron? I mean, could it be a new kind of instrument for people who want to make music? Or is it just something that's so specifically suited and created for you that it shall be a one of a kind forever?
No, I'd like to sell a version of it, but that in itself is a huge ordeal and takes a lot of investment to do. So I'll probably do a Kickstarter at some point in the next couple of years, but we'll see.
Well, Darren Foreman, better known as Beardy Man, will be kicking off his U.S. tour at Brighton Music Hall tonight. His new album is called Distractions, and there's a lot more information at our website, radioboston.org. Darren, thank you so much. It was really great to talk with you.
Thanks. It's been a lot of fun.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.